Infendo Radio is on now.
Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English speaking internet. This is episode 296. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Harrison Milfeld.
Our podcast is getting old.
And Holly Felmuth.
Hey, everybody.
And by old, I mean by, like, age-wise, not old as in our content and our, you know, our style. I didn't mean to insult everybody on here.
Okay. And today's show, we have a special single feature, and we're carrying off where we ended last week. So we have a list here of what we've picked as the top 10 games launched on a Nintendo platform in 2013. And our job today is to rank these from number 1 to number 10. And before we begin, I'll just go through the list of nominees. We have Pokemon X and Y as a single game, Super Mario 3D World, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Fire Emblem Awakening, The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds, Rayman Legends, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, The Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, and finally, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate.
As we mentioned in the last podcast, this is missing a game such as, like, Shin Megami Tensei 4, which, you know, I tried to debate for in the last podcast, but, you know, since my lack of playing it, but, you know, good word of mouth, especially from John from the Nintendo, wasn't able to get it on there, you know? Oh, well.
It's a good sign, really. I mean, we had a lot of great games that didn't make the cut.
And that's the pain of it, too. I mean, it's just really, I mean, and even though, yes, we've seen quite a bit of few Wii U titles on here, but really the majority of this list is just... Even our discussion from last week was quite a ton of 3DS games. And one thing I think one people don't really like to talk about is well, the 3DS really had probably one of the more exclusives probably out there. I mean, yeah, you could probably make the argument it's like, oh, it's a handheld, but the fact that they had so many good exclusive titles on there, it just speaks volumes for how far that handheld has come.
Yeah, definitely. So we're in the tricky position here. I think it's probably best to possibly start bottom up?
Unless we want to just, you know, start from top to bottom or something like that.
That's
but
the
no.
thing. Then yeah, we're going to have to unanimously decide which is the best, and I'm not sure it's going to be as simple as it sounds.
Might as well keep everybody on their toes.
Yeah, there's also that element too. So, any particular game come to mind that you would be happy to see in the number 10th position? And this is obviously open to both of you guys currently.
I'm going to have to put Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on that one, just because my only Monster Hunter playing experiences was through Try, and I never did get a chance to play through there. I mean, again, listeners are probably just going to hang me for my reasoning on this, is just, well, not to discard that it is actually, you know, a good game for, you know, the Wii U experience, it's just, I didn't really see it as much as, like, that game changer to put it on top, like, you know, on the top, like, even further than, like, a 10 or a 9 spot.
I think as the person who's played it amongst the group, I'll mention some of the good things about this game and perhaps why it may be higher than the 10th position. So, this is actually the only game on our list which is available on both the Wii U and the 3DS. It has connectivity between both versions of the game. If you've got the 3DS version, you can transfer your save file to the Wii U version. It also has cross-play in the sense that if you have the 3DS version and a friend has the Wii U version, you can play local multiplayer together. It also supports online on the Wii U, voice chat on the gamepads. It's got a huge single player mode, obviously a huge online component too. It's a game you can sink a serious amount of time into. Speaking from personal experience, I've poured triple digits into this game,
Jeez.
which I say I haven't on any of the other games in this list. Now, it's definitely a game which isn't for everyone, but I don't think it necessarily needs to sit at the bottom of this list. It has a lot of good things going for it, and the fact it's exclusive on Nintendo platforms as well should say something. It's doing kind of the whole plethora of different things here for both systems.
See, I mean, I tried to get into the demo, but it was it's that same thing I felt like what kind of caused with Wonderful 101, because in Wonderful 101's case, I had friends who were turned off by the demo who didn't really buy it off there until months later. I mean, I was almost in that same group as well, because it really kind of puts you in a hard spot as far as the demo, and I feel like, from what I've heard from friends who were playing, Monster Hunter 3 on there, is like, only download the demo if you're a veteran player. I mean, it doesn't really throw you in as far, like, teach you, like, the bells and whistles as far as when it comes into, like, the thing. It just kind of throws you into the deep end.
And someone should have told me that before I downloaded the demo myself for Monster Hunter 3, because I downloaded the Wii U demo, and I told Lewis this on Miiverse, actually. It just turned me off right away. I mean, I probably spent a good amount of time on the demo just trying to figure things out, but I never really did. And I thought, what's the big deal about this game? I can't even tell what the point is or what I'm supposed to do. So, yeah, someone should have told me that before, don't play the demo unless you're a veteran. But nobody did, and so that was kind of a bad experience for me, turning me off to getting the games until now that Lewis is putting them in such a bright and shining light.
The other thing I would say, it has some strange parallels to Pokemon in the sense that it's good as a single player game, but it's much, much better if you play it in the aim to then, at least later on, play it with friends. So if you're building up your warrior, increasing its armor, getting better weapons, there's only so much fun in doing that on your own. But if you're at a later stage, going to be out in a position to show this off to some other people and actually use this with friends to help take down a larger beast. That's kind of where the fun of the game comes in. So the more you can play this game with friends, whether it's local or online, it thankfully does have that online component as well, the more you get out of this game. But yeah, the big thing against this, it has this huge steep learning curve and it doesn't have a great tutorial system.
Does the manual at least explain everything?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I actually, because I have the have it digitally on my Wii U. I've never checked the digital manual for this. It might
I
have
don't.
answered some of my questions, but I'm not entirely sure.
I have a confession to make. While browsing through whatever, okay, since I've been downloading more titles on my Wii U just digitally,
Have you never checked a digital manual?
I didn't realize I couldn't. I remember for a while I didn't know where it was until I pressed the home menu and I realized I thought it was the manual just for the Wii U. I didn't realize it was the manual for the game. And after I found that out, clicked on it for Wonderful 101, I just kind of sat back and just like, really? You went a year without finding this? Okay.
Yeah, and on the
I.
side, oh, sorry, on the side
Sorry
note,
about that.
that's right. Those manuals are surprisingly well put together. Most people probably had never touched them, but they have like links to other relevant pages or references to certain things. You can jump between them, and they've got the actual images from the normal manual, or if it wouldn't have had pictures in there, they've added them in as if the traditional ones would. So if you do use digital games, it's worth checking out when you have a new game just to browse through that, just to see if there is anything you're missing.
You stuck? Oh, here's a link to GameFAQs where all the information is still missing.
It's called the Internet app. Okay, so we've not made a huge amount of progress in our list so far.
No, we have not. But I think we have. Are we still deciding on Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on number 10 spot?
I think I'm trying to hold it off of number 10. I'm not sure how well I'm doing.
Well, I don't know if this helps, but my number 10, oh, would have to be the Wonderful 101.
Oh, okay.
Don't kill me or anything.
I'm not gonna get. No, I mean, I'm.
I think Harrison might be on your side, yeah.
No, no, I'm as I further progress right now, it's kind of just inching towards is like a game I kind of just like felt like I was gonna set low expectations to, but now I'm just beginning to like it a lot more. Yeah. But I spoiler, I'm not really saving this as a top five for Wonderful 101. I'm kind of saving it as that just misses the cut. Not in the top 10, just misses the cut as far as on.
Now, your opinion of it has definitely improved from last week.
It has, you know.
I think it was a definite 10 last week, and now it's a 6 to 10 game.
Yeah, because I realize the fact that it's one of those games, it's difficult to master the controls. And really, I finally realized that normal mode for Platinum Game Standard is hard mode, so I haven't changed it back. I'm still going through normal mode, just trying to beat it.
Okay, in an effort to chip away at this list, is there anything you would say, Harrison, which falls beneath the Wonderful 101?
Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Okay. Would you agree, Holly, or do you think that should be a higher?
I never played that one.
Ooh, okay.
But just from what I've heard, I would think, well, based on what I've heard and how I have been enjoying The Wonderful 101, I still think that The Wonderful 101 should be farther below Luigi's Mansion.
Okay.
It's just that The Wonderful 101, I mean, it's got so many good things going for it, but there are also so many bad things going for it, and I just think that it...
What bad things, though? I mean, if you mind sharing, it just...
Well, I actually didn't have any problem whatsoever with the control scheme. It's just the gameplay is really kind of inconsistent sometimes. For example, I recently went through the lava stage. It's kind of the Lorule ruins or whatever. And there's tons of rock walls in that stage, but you can't necessarily climb any of them. And at some points I was thinking like, okay, how do I get past this? And I thought maybe the claws can climb up this rock or something like that. But the claws weren't able to climb up the rock walls. Later on, I got stuck again, and I ended up using YouTube to try and figure it out. And it was the claws that you had to use to climb up this rock wall that I was stuck at. And I just wondered, okay, so this rock wall is climbable, but 90% of the other rock walls were not climbable. And there's a lot of weird inconsistencies like that that I just didn't really appreciate in that game. Lots of moments where I got frustrated, had no idea what to do, etc., etc. So, but, you know, I also just recently had one of the best boss battles of the game. It's like this giant robot boxing match that's just absolutely epic and phenomenal. And
that's my saving grace for this game so far right now, is that once I am progressing, you know, you always, with games like I had played for a while, you always liked the journey from, like, going from level to level and then going to the boss. This one, it's like, you want to get through all the mess that you have right now and get to that boss battle. That's me right now. I mean, I just haven't been... It's a game that's kind of, I'm liking it as more as I'm going along right now, because, like, the first 2 hours or so, I was just kind of rolling my eyes thinking, this is a little difficult to control right now. I mean, I like the humor involved with it, but it just wasn't grabbing me as much as I had to, but, you know, luckily that's changed right now.
Okay.
So we have a battle between Monster Hunter 3 and Wonderful 101 for 10 spot.
And Luigi's Mansion, potentially?
Potentially,
Okay, I think to start things off, and we can always change these around later, if we put down Monster Hunter 3 into the 10th spot, followed by Wonderful 101 in 9, and Luigi in 7. And these can change, because I might want to bump something up later, but we can use it as a starting point.
So basically we have 10 is Monster Hunter 3.
Yep.
And
then the Wonderful 101 in 9, and Luigi in 7.
Alright, I think we're getting this started.
Haha. Okay. Let's, Pokemon X and Y, where do we feel about this?
Hey,
so I personally think I've gone a bit more lukewarm on this since the weeks have gone on.
See, I haven't picked it up in about, I haven't picked it up in about a month just because of other things that I've been trying to play, but, I don't know, this is a game I just really wish I hope Nintendo actually does some DLC for in the near future.
Yeah, what they do with this will be interesting, whether they go the DLC route or the more normal a third game in the series route and spin-offs.
I don't know, I think I would rather have probably, I don't know, if you add another, like, I don't know, maybe, then again, who knows, maybe they, like, you'll get a 20, like they do with Luigi, Super Luigi Bros, or New Super Luigi Bros, where you actually download, like, the size of that file, whatever, I mean, it was like $20 for those who had the game and $30 for those who wanted to stand alone. Maybe Nintendo could do something like that, where it's...
That would be a smart move. If they released a normal boxed copy, but also a DLC upgrade. So you can upgrade X or Y into Z for an extra, you know, for about half the price.
We're already probably the design is going to be Z.
I don't know what else it would be called.
I can only imagine what the Pokemon will probably be to actually get into that shape, because, you know, what was it? X was the, I can't even pronounce the name of that mystical
Xerneas.
Deer. Xerneas, there you go, and, Yveltal from Y. I'm like, it's gotta be something, it'd probably be a snake, even though...
We have Evolution of Arbok.
I don't think I would buy that if that would be the most disappointing Pokemon box art, main series box art you could think of.
Okay, so, So, do we have big objections if I would suggest Pokemon went into the sixth spot above Luigi?
I would actually agree with that, because I'm kind of lukewarm on Pokemon, too.
You mean seven?
No, we got Luigi in seven currently.
We have 10 at Monster Hunter 3, 9 Wonderful 101, 8 Luigi's
Mansion. Oh, you are correct, yes.
Numbers are... Math is fun!
Math is fun. I would be suggesting 8. 8, then.
For Luigi's Mansion, right?
Sorry. My numbers are rubbish here. For 7, so above Luigi.
Mm. I kind of liked the sound of 6. I mean, I know I'm skipping 7 here, but I liked the sound of 6 for Pokemon.
I think, yeah, it goes a little farther on there. I mean, this was obviously a great, and no pun intended on this one, evolution of this series. And
it was a mega game, I'll give you that.
It was a mega game. Yes, I wonder what the mega evolution of X and Y are going to be. Oh, here's your MMORPG Pokemon. I'm like, yeah, but it's... No, I'd be more comfortable in the sixth spot. My reasoning behind this is just, one, this got me back into the main series of Pokemon games in such a good way where I was kind of dreading thinking I was going to kind of lose it as far as, like, you know, trying to progress. But luckily, though, this was one that actually welcomed both veterans and newcomers alike.
Okay. Any suggestions what we put in that slot between Pokemon and Luigi now?
What are the games we have left?
We got Fire Emblem Awakening, Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds, Rayman Legends, Pikmin 3, Animal Crossing New Leaf, Super Mario 3D World.
I know people are going to hate me for this, I'm going to have to say Rayman Legends.
And there's a bit of silence there.
Yeah, I know. That silence is the sound of Lewis's disapproval there, kids.
Or maybe Holly's. I really liked Rayman Legends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would always picture... I don't know, Holly, I would more picture you just twirling the hair just in disagreement. Just like, what is he thinking?
So, Harrison.
Yes.
So, are you confident to say Animal Crossing is higher placed in your list? Which is fine if that's the case.
Wait, you're asking me if Animal Crossing is higher on my list?
Yeah.
I have not played Animal Crossing New Leaf, even though I said in so many podcasts that I'd be picking this up, and I just never did. So my opinion's mute on this one.
Because I think once we get past Rayman Legends, Animal Crossing, and potentially Pikmin 3, we are just kind of left with the heavy hitters.
Yeah?
Holly, what would you... Out of Rayman Legends and Animal Crossing, which would you be happier going into the... Was it the 8th slot we have now? Oh, sorry, the 7th slot.
I would have to go with Animal Crossing New Leaf. It's Animal Crossing, you know? It's just, well, it's got a few, you know, upgrades to it. Being mayor, I think, is one of the coolest upgrades to the Animal Crossing formula that there has been in a long time. But Rayman Legends is just, I mean, the music, the visuals, it's just a really gorgeous game. And the gameplay is excellent, and I just think that it should go a little higher than Animal Crossing, at least.
I will agree with you on that. I will agree with you on that, you know.
Yeah, you made a very good point there. No, I completely agree. What we have currently, we have in 10 Monster Hunter, in 9 The Wonderful 101, in 8 Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, in 7 Animal Crossing New Leaf, and in 6 Pokemon X and Y. And if we're happy with them, we have 5 remaining slots for Pikmin 3, Rayman Legends, 3D World, Link Between Worlds, and Fire Emblem Awakening.
We're getting down to it.
We are.
This is where it becomes tough.
Do we have any brave suggestions here?
Pikmin 3 for 5.
I must say, I agree with that.
I can agree with that too. That was simpler than expected.
That was the quickest decision there. I mean, everybody's thinking like, well, what's our reasoning on that? Got anyone to reflect on Pikmin 3?
Well, I think a useful thing to do actually would be to compare it to Rayman Legends. Just think Pikmin 3 versus Rayman Legends, because I think those are probably the two contenders for the number 5 spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think Rayman gets the edge out of Pikmin 3.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Pikmin 3 had its qualities as far as being a good, you know, well, even though this is a sequel you've been waiting for quite a long time for, but it's just one for, like, the one as far as a series that I felt like should have had online cooperative play, but even though the addition of, like, a local, like, bingo battle and stuff like, and bingo battle and cooperative play on there, it still worked, but also, it was one that actually did so much as far as when it came to new puzzles and new ways to command these Pikmin. It just it came together so well to that point I really fell in love with the series. But yet, it's kind of like one of those once-in-a-generation kind of series that comes in. It's sort of, as far as Nintendo franchises, you know, Nintendo doesn't really want to milk the series so much. It's like, here's this one, you won't get another one until the next console. Which is a shame.
It is a shame. And yeah, I mean, as good as Pikmin 3 was, it did, you know, take a lot of the same steps that the first two games did. If it had embraced some more of the online modes, like Rayman Legends is, it might have been higher in my own list. If it had some sort of online co-op, or at least, some, you know, if it had online bingo battle, for example. Whereas on the opposite side, Rayman Legends has some really awesome online multiplayer. It may not be, you know, picking from the same levels as you would play local co-op, but it has daily challenges and weekly challenges and all that wonderful stuff, and you have your own personal scores and you can compare them against your friends and people around the world. And there's just a big variety of different things you can do in that game. I mean, I've not even tried that local, you know, platform football multiplayer game which they were talking about before the game launched. It's just a lot of stuff in that game. So yeah, I'm happy Rayman goes above Pikmin 3 there.
And just for our North American listeners, that's soccer.
Oh, of course, yes.
Sorry about that. I just had to clear that up with everybody.
Nah, no problem. Actually, do you know what the game is called? That game I'm talking about in Rayman Legends on your side?
I'm not sure what it's called, but I have played it, and it's actually a ton of fun. The first time I played it, it was with a good friend of mine who I don't get to see very often, but we were kind of just hanging out and playing games, and we're all like, what the heck, let's try out this random soccer game, and we played it, and I don't know if it was just me and her or what the deal was, because we were laughing our heads off. I thought I might, like, suffocate on my own laughter. That's how much fun that I was having with that game. So when you get a chance, play that multiplayer game. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I think it's the international name, man. I think it's called Comfort. Assuming it's not changed for something else.
I think that's what it is over here, too. So.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
So, Pikmin 3 for the 5 spot.
Yep, and I think, are we kind of happy with Rayman sitting above it in number 4? Or do we want to leave that one for now.
We get those final four spots. See what we can battle it out. I mean, these are... We're getting into that territory of knowing, like, yeah, like, really heavy-hitting games.
Okay, so the four remaining games, we have Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds, Super Mario 3D World, Rayman Legends, and Fire Emblem Awakening.
I would put Rayman Legends at number four.
I have no objection to that as well. I feel like that's as close it's going to get, probably, you know, to beating... I mean, Rayman Legends, this up here has beaten up at least the first party Nintendo exclusive titles pretty well on here.
I'm just trying to do my best to convince Harrison to get Fire Emblem. You haven't gotten that yet, Harrison?
Would you kill me if I said I didn't?
Yeah.
I asked for it for Christmas for my little sister, and she didn't get it. But luckily, the gift she got me a new sweater. And I was like, "Thank you, I like this." And I was like, "Look at like, where's Fire Emblem?"
Oh dear. So I'm gonna say something quite controversial here.
Oh no.
Now, we may have slightly different opinion on these games due to when they came out and the characters involved. There was a bit of skepticism as well about when 3D World came out. How it was a bit treading similar ground and it felt a bit similar to the 3DS game and so on.
I wouldn't say it felt similar. I mean, I felt with the more technology the Wii U had, it was able to kind of give the levels more life and more ease to explore.
That's definitely true. But I think there was also kind of a general voice about a slight disappointment that it wasn't, you know, a brand new thing. I mean, there is obviously some similarities between it and the 3DS game in terms of its style and its basic gameplay. And there were some people a bit disappointed. It wasn't like, you know, the next Mario 64, the new Sunshine or the new Galaxy sort of thing. Just with that perspective in mind, just to think on this in a moment, are we sure 3D World should beat Rayman Legends?
Ooh.
Because without thinking about it, I kind of instinctively want to put Mario on top. But if I'm breaking it down, I think Rayman does a lot of newer stuff. And I'm just thinking it... Well, while I was playing it, I think I was, you know, filled with that more kind of genuine excitement.
I mean, I'm trying to agree with you on that. I really want to, but the things that kind of made 3D World work as far as just to being like, oh, it's just enough, like, when this was first announced in E3, we assumed, like, my general opinion is like, oh, it's not a regular 3D Mario, it's just another cookie cutter, like, it's essentially the 3D, like, you know, 8-directional space world of, you know, new Super Mario Brothers, but 3D World. But once I picked that up, though, it kind of... I mean, this is more invoking more of, like, the popularity of, like, you know, the Mario... Like, just Mario World, whereas New Super Mario Bros. Is going back to just the classic 2D... Well, actually, no, that's a bad comparison, because, you know, Super Mario... Well, Mario 3, Super Mario World was a 2D side-scroller. But it's, yeah, I feel like it just gave that right bit of difficulty for a Mario 3D title, though. Rayman Legends, though, gives you that great toughness as far as difficulty, but yet it's just, I feel like Mario beats it out because there's a little bit more after, you know, more after you want to complete the game. I mean, there's okay. So much...
No, I agree with you there. I mean, both games have a lot of kind of post-game content stuff, but I think the content in Mario... The stuff which comes, you know, afterwards is a lot better than the stuff in Rayman. Because that seems to be more reliant on the levels from the older game, which aren't as good.
And speaking of good other portions of the level, have you even beaten Champion's Road yet?
I have not.
Holly?
I have not either. I've been working on it really
How many times
hard
have you...
lately.
I finally beat it after my 50th time. That's an exaggeration, but I know I probably got up to that point when I did that. And, for those who played on there, this is just... Champions Road just basically throws almost close to everything that was really, like, made some levels in Mario really difficult, be it moving platforms of water, you know, hammer fire bros, speed panels, and even piranha plants, for instance, you know. But the last part of this level, I mean, obviously getting the stars is pretty easy, but it's just, you get to the last portion of this level, which has multiple speed panels, each with little, like, drops. And that was always the part I died on. I mean, it took me a while to finally get to that portion on there, because this is a game, once you start this level, you need the Tanuki suit and the cat suit. Those are very vital to kind of, like, getting through that without much frustration. Because once you get the speed panels, you can just speed on the speed panel and just float with the Tanuki suit, get on the next one, float. But here's the thing. These speed panels, you think, like, okay, that's not so hard. There's those energy boosts or something like that, I'm guessing, whatever, that can hurt you, that are just, like, spread in a very large radius, and they keep going on, but there's multiple ones. And as you're going into the last portion to kind of get to the next level of this area, which is, I'm not really going to spoil it for Holly, since I'm sure you probably saw on YouTube or something if you're trying to help you out, but there are keys, basically, on this last portion of this square speed panels, each with their own drops. And there's about five, you know, energy rings going around you. So having this Nuki suit is very, good, but you need, the five key sets to unlock the mystery box, the portal box. So I got on that, you know, got to three, got hurt, lost the Nuki suit. I'm like, okay, just use Rosalina, spin in the air, get some air time, avoid it. Got to the fourth one, got hurt. Now a mini Peach, a mini Rosalina. Okay, this is bad. So I grab the last key. It opens, like, okay, this is good. I jump at the last second to avoid one of these energy boosts, and as in the air, I'm like, I'm going to land on one of these things. I'm going to land on it. I land on it, get into the box, and luckily I did not throw my gamepad on the ground. I threw it into my couch, and I was like, I did it. But obviously, though, you weren't done after that, but after that, it's smooth sailing. So, but I haven't completed anything else of that. I have not beaten the mystery house because I'm stuck on, like, 15 stars right now, and I'm just having difficulty at it. But that was probably the most frustrating thing I have ever played as far as a Mario level I have done in quite some time.
I actually have beaten the mystery house marathon. So, I can at least say that.
I always get stuck on, it's right after, like, the rotating discs, whatever, with all the fuzzies, and I always have to go on the opposite side, which is going, you know, counterclockwise, just because I just don't want to lose the cat suit. And once I get in there, it's the, you have to jump on the boost panel or something like that and throw a baseball at a button to activate the star. I always miss it. And that's...
Wow, that is one of the tougher little mini-games. Just in case you don't really know what we're talking about Mystery House Marathon. The Mystery Houses are those kind of rapid-fire challenges that the game will sometimes throw at. Yes, sometimes on the overworld you'll find these Mystery Houses that have three green stars that you can get, but they're like 10-second challenges that you just have to complete really quick, and you have to really use your wits and your reflexes to get through them. The baseball throwing one is definitely one of the hardest, and I was stuck on that one for a while, but there's a little trick. You go, you grab the baseball, you hit the jump pad, so you're in the air. Don't throw the baseball right away. You gotta kind of just get as far toward the blue switch as you can, and then throw it, and it'll just barely hit it. But it will. That's my advice for that one if you're stuck on it.
There's too many moments in that game, like that level where I get the star activated, but I can't reach it in time.
Oh, that is the most frustrating.
I know. It's like when you're chasing the rabbit in the speed panels in this little grassy area, and I get it, but the star is right above a speed panel. It's like, oh, no, I'm after a speed panel. I can't slow down.
Yeah, that's a tough one as well. So frustrating. But I'm done with that, and I'm probably never going to come back to that Mystery House marathon ever again.
Oh, no, and here's the worst part about it, whatever, is that the last remaining stamps, the four, which are just basically stamps of each of the character art from when you, on the select screen, You have to get those by beating each of the levels, including Champions Road, with each character. And as soon as I found that out, I'm like, nope, not doing that.
Yeah, I think I can live without a few stamps.
Yeah, that one does seem a little bit extreme.
So, Lewis, how's your progress on Mystery House Marathon?
I think it's non-existent in the Mystery House Marathon. I mean, I haven't played much of Mario since I've actually beat the game and unlocked Rosalina. I kind of started playing other games at that point. And I've yet to jump back into it. I know I've got a lot of good stuff to enjoy when I do get back in there. But it's good to hear you both talk about this post-game content.
I know, because I'm trying to make sure this game gets a high spot.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, it's no wonder that Lewis wants us to put Rayman Legends above Mario. You know, a few weeks ago, maybe not that long ago, I don't know, I would have put Rayman Legends above Super Mario 3D World. But playing this post-game content and just really getting into it, collecting all the green stars, getting all the, you know, tops of the flagpole, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just loving the game more and more, and it's completely changed my perspective from like a few weeks ago. I totally agree with Super Mario 3D World beating Rayman Legends.
Okay. On that note then, let's not decide exactly where 3D World goes, but if we are happy to put Rayman Legends into the fourth position slot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, before we tackle the top three, I would like to propose a adjustment on one of the already placed, or I guess two of the already placed nominees, which would be swapping around Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon and Animal Crossing. So moving Luigi up one and Animal Crossing down one.
I would not mind that.
I'm good with that as well.
Okay. Let me do that quick switch, and then I'll give a run through of what we've got so far. So we've got everything but the top three, on paper so far. In number 10, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. Number 9, The Wonderful 101. Number 8, Animal Crossing New Leaf. Number 7, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Number 6, Pokemon X and Y. Number 5, Pikmin 3. And number 4, Rayman Legends. Okay, do we have any other adjustments you would, anyone wants to suggest for what we've got so far?
I think we're good right now. It's just the difficult portion of ranking 1 through 3.
Yep. Okay. And yourself, Holly? You happy with 4 to 10 currently?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say right now, probably you may disagree with me, but the highest I think I may be able to put Super Mario 3D World is number 2.
I would actually agree with that. That's kind of my thought.
Okay.
So Harrison, if you would put Mario at number 2, then what would your number 1 be? I'm curious.
So this is a tricky one to say, because... Wait.
A link Between Worlds.
You've not played either yet, have you?
No, so I can't have an opinion on this. I can't.
Funny how you should be so, I don't know, steadfast in
I'm
your
a bad,
opinion.
I'm terrible on the show. Look at me. I haven't even, everybody's like, what is the deal with this guy? He hasn't played anything. I'm like, I have a budget.
Which also makes the comment about Mario 3D Worlds, you wouldn't be happier with it be any higher than 2, even more interesting.
I did that because I honestly think probably from opinion-wise, it could probably, one of these two games should probably be above it.
Oh, okay. Very noble course. Thinking back, I think I probably enjoyed Fire Emblem Awakening the most out of these three.
And Holly?
Oh, well, number of hours logged in the game wise.
No, it doesn't have to be number of hours.
Well, just because
I'm on the leading question here.
It's a tough choice, and so the only way I can think of it is to think about how many hours I've logged in each of these games, and I have logged triple digits, probably close to, if not more than, 200 hours. In Fire Emblem Awakening. Whereas with Zelda, I beat the game in less than 20 hours. I enjoyed it. I never really did hero mode, though, and I didn't complete the game at 100%, and I just was kind of done with it after beating it the first time in less than 20 hours. But as a gameplay experience, I just think that Zelda is such a tight and solid gameplay experience that I would put Zelda at number one.
Okay. This is where things get tricky.
Yep.
So we've got three slots. We've got a disagreement with number one. Let's see if we can get agreement with number three. We're both championing Zelda and Fire Emblem. Any disagreements of putting 3D World in number three?
I think we can bump it down once. Yeah.
Well, you said no higher than two.
I know, but that's the you're both your guys' votes against mine as well.
Well, I'm kind of still with Harrison. It's like I say, I've been enjoying Super Mario 3D World more and more the more that I have played it. This is really tough.
So, you know, I know you both have played 3D World a lot more than me. So, I will put that into consideration. If you believe it should be higher, let it be known.
Believe it should be higher.
Okay.
Okay, alright.
I guess you think it should be in a number two position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is. I think right now the top spot is going to have to go to a 3DS title.
Well, okay. So I just like to think of it this way. Fire Emblem, it's a really good game.
It's a really good game, I agree.
Yes.
Mm. We can't do that, yeah.
What is the name of that genre? Is it...
I guess it kind of just falls under a strategy game.
Yeah, just
or
a strategy.
Or
a
turn-based strategy.
Yeah. It's a Fire Emblem. It's a turn-based strategy. It's good for turn-based strategy fans, for sure. And actually, it's really good for everyone else, too. But when I think back on that, I think that... Oh, one of the reasons that I played that game so much, and this reason, it almost tops any other reason that I played this game so long, was, like, matching up my characters. It wasn't really about the gameplay. It was about, you know, getting my characters married off and all their kids married off and everything like that, and...
It's a part of the game, though?
Yes, it is. But it's a tough one. I mean, the gameplay is good, and there's no doubt about it. But it's not... Well, I just think that Zelda's gameplay, as short as that game ended up being for me, the gameplay in that game was just phenomenal. I mean, the design, it was absolutely fantastic as a gameplay experience. And I play games for the gameplay and the controls and the design, not necessarily for the graphics or the storyline. The gameplay in Zelda was just stunning, and the design was amazing, and that's why I would actually want Zelda to be at number one, with Mario at number two and Fire Emblem at number three. Your turn, Lewis.
Yeah, it's just down to us two, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so my argument for Fire Emblem Awakening. Okay, to start with, it takes a series that not a huge amount of people played, and it causes kind of big, almost an explosion or a fever of just kind of people talking about this game and playing it actively at the time it came out. And it does a couple of things really well. I mean, the first thing, it seems to have like this huge production value has gone into it. So it has these really nice anime cinematic scenes. And they're also all in 3D. It's all voice acted as well. And the characters themselves in the game all have... they really have really good personalities. The localization's really good. But fore and foremost, the actual game itself, the turn-based element of the game, the engine's really well put together. And all these other little bits that we talk about, like how you can make characters up so they can have a baby... It all kind of falls back into the main game itself. So those new characters which you create, you can later on recruit into your game. They can have their own, you know, they have their own special statistics, and you can change their jobs or their class, and you can change their stats in that way. But not only about the single player game, but it has lots of cool Street Pass and Spot Pass features, and it also had a whole plethora of downloadable content in terms of not just the paid content, which there was kind of you could buy like single missions or you could buy like packs of missions, but they also had lots of free content where they would just give out characters and little missions and bits and bobs just through Spot Pass. But I think it's not including Monster Hunter 3, my most played 3DS game. And it is a tricky one. I think the problem here is I think as good as Zelda is, it is intentionally, but it is similar in many ways to obviously its predecessor games.
And
Whereas I think Fire Emblem makes a lot more kind of further strides and advancements from its previous games.
it's the game that I played from what I've read from views and testimonies from friends that it really improved upon itself. I mean, like I said with even with X and Y, this is a game that eases people in if you are not a fan of the series or not. And yet it just has so much content.
As much as I don't want, or as much as this isn't my favorite outcome, a compromise between me and Lewis's opinions would probably be, it would probably see Super Mario 3D World at number 3. That would probably satisfy Lewis and I, our little disagreement, you could say, the best, even though
Fine.
I'm not a huge fan of that idea.
I know, but I'm just like, I will. Even though it pains me to do this, I'm willing to put it down in the 3 spot.
Before you say that, Harrison.
But the reason for the 2 spot is so I can split these two games, which I've never played, that I can understand why the first
There is
title,
that, isn't it?
the first one on number 1 spot, I can understand why.
I do honestly think. See, it's harder to argue against Zelda, but I think Fire Emblem is better than 3D Worlds. But then it gets tricky because you guys are further ahead in that game than I am. So, if you can convince me that the portion of the game that I've not played yet would change my opinion on 3D Worlds of being a much better game.
It's not just an extra level, there's 2 extra worlds to go through as well, plus the final area, which has a Captain Toad level, one hard level, and a mystery house level.
I
Each which
think you
take a
can
little
call
bit.
that a world. It's a
Yeah, you can call
world
that a world.
crown, man.
World, yeah. It is a crown, yes. No, because, what was it? Star level is basically a collection of new, harder levels, and the other levels, be it, fire and mushroom, was it fire and mushroom? They're a selection of new, but also a collection of older levels, but upped in difficulty.
Okay, so Holly, having played both of these games we're talking about, 3D World and Fire Emblem, do you think that portion of the game I've not played yet in 3D World could alter my perception on which is the greater game? Or is it more of the same?
Oh, man. Oh. You have such a good opinion of Fire Emblem, and I do too. Don't get me wrong. It's like I say. I think last time I checked my activity log, I had 250 something hours logged in Fire Emblem Awakening. So obviously, I really love that game as well. And so I don't. I mean, even though with me playing all the extra post-game content that you haven't quite gotten to has changed my opinion on Super Mario 3D World. I don't think it would do that for you.
No, that's okay. However, what something you just said there has resonated with me. The fact you have played Fire Emblem so much, I'm happy to go with your opinion here on where we place these two games.
Are you sure?
I am, so I think I know what our final order is. I'd like to clarify. So we're going to have number 3, Fire Emblem, number 2, Super Mario 3D World, and number 1, The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds. Would that be correct?
I can get behind that.
That quote of let's just say, triple digits. That's a lot of dedication into a game that I am trying to champion here. So it's obviously not something that hasn't also grabbed you in the same way. But you also having played more of 3D World beyond what I have, I think that's the best judgment we can make.
I think we can probably go to that.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm kind of happy about it, but at the same time, Louis, you're kind of getting the short end of the stick because I mean, Harrison's happy with his, you know, big game getting number two, and of course I'm happy with Zelda getting number one. But then Fire Emblem getting number three for you, that's probably...
No, it's okay. It's a lot higher than I've seen in other people's lists, which have popped up on the internet. Now I'm happy seeing it in the top three position. Do we have any kind of last-minute changes to any of the items here? Not necessarily the ones in the top three, but...
I think we got it.
Okay. Let's go through this order once more. Number 10, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. Number 9, The Wonderful 101. Number 8, Animal Crossing New Leaf. Number 7, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Number 6, Pokemon X and Y. Number 5, Pikmin 3. Number 4, Rayman Legends. Number 3, Fire Emblem Awakening. Number 2, Super Mario 3D World. And our winner at number 1, the best game of 2013, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds.
We did it. We finally, our long belated Infendo Game of the Year discussion.
Yeah, and who would have thought it would have ended with Zelda, eh?
I know. You're all surprised, right?
I want to know what the readers / listeners know, so I know this is probably more Lewis's job, but I just want to let all you listeners / readers out there know, leave a comment and let us know what your favorite games are. I am really curious to know what all y'all think.
So yeah, I think on that note, as Holly mentioned before, if you have your own top 10 list, feel free to send them in to us. You can either leave them in the comments below or send them in via email at contact@infendo.com. Also, we're planning on doing a big listeners questions episode coming up shortly, so if you could send in your questions again to that same address, contact@infendo.com, hopefully we can fill up a whole episode of your questions and go through them. And that's going to be it all for tonight. So that's from myself, Holly, and Harrison. Thanks for listening.
See you guys. Don't kill us, readers.